From another pouch, he unfurled a roll of carbon fiber cloth and settled it over the top of the wall. Mark heaved himself atop the wall, and even with his full weight bearing down on the razor-sharp glass, it couldn't cut through the high-tech material. He dropped down to the ground and moved slightly to his left. A moment later, he heard Juan scramble up and over the wall. He fell lightly at Mark's side.
"When we're back on the ship, you're going on a diet," Juan said,
but showed no ill effects of holding Murph aloft. He keyed his throat mic.
"We're in."
On the opposite side of the compound, where there was another gap in the video camera coverage, Eddie and Franklin Lincoln were making their covert entrance. Though Link was the best the corporation had at security bypasses, it had been Eddie who cut the wire, for the simple reason that all the martial arts training in the world couldn't give him the strength to hold Link's 250-pound frame.
"So are we. Standing by."
Keeping flat, Cabrillo led Murph away from the wall, snaking across the grounds in a seemingly random pattern, but the route had been carefully mapped out so they avoided the numerous cameras. At one end of the main building, the roof sported several satellite dishes and a spindly radio transmission tower. This was their destination, and it took 7 minutes of crawling to reach it. In no time, they'd cut through a window and began to make their way inside. Juan legged over the sill and ducked into the building. When Mark had scrambled through the window, Cabrillo drew down the shade.
"We're in the office."
"Roger,"
Eddie replied. Juan gestured to the computer.
"It's up to you."
Murph cracked his knuckles and took a seat behind the desk, turning down the screen before awaking the system. From a fanny pack, he removed a battered piece of electronics covered in decals and wads of dried gum. He jacked it into the computer's USB port. A moment later, a laughing skull appeared on the monitor. When it disappeared, Mark began to pound the keyboard with one ambidextrous hand, while the other rolled the mouse like a child would a toy truck. A few minutes later, Murph cried,
"Got it!"
Then he looked around guiltily for speaking so loudly.
"Sorry, I'm into their system. Piece of cake."
Juan strode across the room.
"Can you find which room is Kyle's?"
"They have everything cross-referenced. He's in Building C, which is the newest one right near where Eddie and Link climbed the wall."
"Kyle Hanley's room is number 117, but he's not alone. He's got a roommate named, let's see, Jeff Ponsetto."
"Well done,"
Cabrillo said, and relayed the information to Eddie and Link.
"Start to download what you can off their computer."
Linda Ross came over the tactical net.
"Chairman, you've got company coming. Two men, dressed in maintenance workers' overalls, are crossing the compound, heading toward the main building."
"Murph, forget the download. Let's go."
As Juan went toward the door, he tucked an electronic bug under the desk lamp. He knew it would be found quickly, once the break-in was detected, but it would transmit the first critical moments of whatever took place in the office. He paused at the window and checked the view screen once again. The maintenance workers were approaching the building's front door, which gave him and Mark the time they needed to get clear. He slowly opened the shade and eased himself over the window sash. His Glock was in his hand, though he had no conscious memory of drawing it. Keeping low and following their carefully laid map to avoid the cameras, they moved toward Building C. The grass was dry under their shoes and crackled with each step. Like the others in the responsivist compound, Building C was one-storied, with whitewashed walls and a barrel tile roof. Link and Eddie were pressed to the wall next to a door, out of view of the camera mounted above it. A security keypad was to the right, and its faceplate had been removed and left dangling by a bunch of wires. Link had already installed his bypass. Despite having such large hands, the former Navy SEAL was the best lockpick the corporation had, and he worked his tools with the delicate touch of a brain surgeon. With a pick and torsion rod in place, he gave the lock a jerk to the left, and the door snicked open.
14 seconds, Eddie whispered.
The maestro strikes again,
Link smirked, and stepped into a long hallway running the length of the building. The hall was lined with dozens of identical doors and was illuminated by shaded fluorescent fixtures hanging from the ceiling. The carpeting was an institutional gray, not much softer than the concrete slab on which the building was constructed. The four men started down, peering into a large kitchen to their left and a room lined with a dozen commercial washing machines to their right. Juan didn't see any clothes dryers and assumed they had drying lines behind the building. Part of responsivism was to reduce one's impact on the natural world, so not having dryers fit their beliefs, as did the solar panels they'd spied on the roof of one of the buildings.